And men's March Madness resumes tonight. After last weekend's upsets and buzzer beaters, it's down to the Sweet 16. And Here and Now sports analyst Mike Pesca, also host of the daily podcast The Gist at Slate.com, joins us to preview the games. Hi there, Mike.
Hello.
So before we talk about what's coming up tonight and tomorrow, can we just take a second to talk about the first two rounds of the tournament? Because it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, if there were just the normal amount of buzzer beaters, or if we just took into account half-court shots and amazing plays, we might say this was one of the greatest tournaments ever. If we looked at the statistics, you know, 10 wins by double-digit seeds, and sometimes when, say, a 10 seed beats a 7, Syracuse over Dayton, for instance, not that much of an upset. But there were a couple of games. First of all, the totality of the games were amazing. There were a couple of games that will never be forgotten, I think, as long as people remember college basketball, chief among them Northern Iowa losing a 12-point lead with 35 seconds left. It was such a tremendous meltdown at the hands of Texas A&M. Texas A&M not even fouling once, just stealing ball after ball and converting shot after shot. People can't believe that. People who do advanced statistics, Bill James, who's a great baseball guru, has a little back of the envelope calculation to see if your lead is safe. And he has said that with 35 seconds left and a 12-point lead, your lead is 100% safe. There is no chance that a team can lose. Well, we saw a team do the impossible, I suppose.
Exactly. And then, of course, there was Michigan State's loss as well.
Yeah, so that's how crazy it was that I'm not even mentioning a number two seed. You could just make a little documentary about the two games Northern Iowa played, because Northern Iowa hit a buzzer beater, half-court buzzer beater over Texas, and then they lost that tremendous game against Texas A&M.
So despite all these upsets and buzzer beaters that we've been talking about, nevertheless, I'm not seeing any games tonight that feature teams lower than a 5 seed. So we're still having all the top-ranked teams going through. So who are you going to be watching tonight?
Right. Today's games don't represent the big upsets, although Texas A&M did stage that furious comeback, but they are a fairly high seed. I think Oklahoma has the most exciting college player in the field, Buddy Hield, and he should score 20, if not 30-something points. The Duke-Oregon game should be a good game because there are a couple of NBA players on the floor. I don't know if they're on, like, Brandon Ingram could go high in the draft, but Oregon is a slight favorite in that game. And then you have Villanova, who year after year gets a high seed and seems to not make it out of the first weekend. They're there against Miami. Let's see if Villanova could advance.
And on Friday, the games there feature two top seeds, Virginia and North Carolina. Talk about those games.
Yeah, so North Carolina is playing Indiana, which beat Kentucky, one of the great games of the tournament, a game that seemed like a Final Four game that we were treated to on the first weekend. Now, Virginia's an interesting team because if you look at conventional statistics, it would indicate, oh, they don't have such a good offense. They don't score that many points a game. Do not look at those conventional statistics. Look instead of at a statistic, points per possession. And they are just about the most efficient team, or one of the 5 most efficient teams in college basketball. They take so much of the shot clock and they have so many fewer possessions. But when they do, they score at a great rate. So it would seem, people will tell you, it's a game between a great offensive team in Iowa State against a great defensive team in University of Virginia. University of Virginia is sneakily a great offensive team too, but let's give Iowa State their credit because they're a conventionally great offensive team, a deep stat great offensive team. So that will be one of these struggles in styles. And there's another game, and now this is the exception to only these top seeds. Even though we had craziness, we're really looking at top seeds. Syracuse against Gonzaga is a 10 seed in Syracuse against an 11 seed against Gonzaga. Those are double-digit seeds, but those are storied teams, especially in the tournament. So that should be an exciting game, too.
It sounds terrific. Let's talk about the women's tournament for a second, because Connecticut has dominated in its first two games. I mean, we say that every year, but it's true. Winning by scores of, what, 101-49 and 97-51. I mean, is there any team on the women's side that can genuinely threaten the Huskies on their way to what looks like number four, the fourth straight win?
It would seem not. Notre Dame has shown an ability not to be intimidated, but, you know, the score of the tournament wasn't a final score. It was after the first quarter. They've gone to quarters now in women's basketball. 41-4 Connecticut over Robert Morris in their first round game. 41-4. I mean, Robert Morris is a team that won its conference. They're not, you know, a JV team. Oh, Connecticut is so good. It almost makes the women's tournament, the situation is, let's talk about everything but Connecticut, since we're all but assured that Connecticut's going to, I don't want to be too positive. There can be a great upset, of course. Hey, we saw a team lose a 12-point lead in 35 seconds. But Connecticut's just so dominant. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, finally, Mike, we should just talk about the big business of March Madness, because I'm seeing here that CBS paid, what, $10 billion for the rights to broadcast the men's tournament over a 14-year period. I mean,
closer to 11, actually. Yeah. Wow. When your rounding error is $800 million, it's a lot of money. Yeah.
And so, like, what does that tell us about March Madness?
It tells us that, okay, let's try to get away from the obvious, but money drives this so much. And unlike football, which does drive college sports, the NCAA itself keeps the money with the football contract. Schools and conferences get the money. So coaches are millionaires. Networks are millionaires and billionaires. Advertisers do well. And the players get to wear a $38 long sleeve t-shirt that says always reppin'. It's a nice shirt. It's selling out, but that's their compensation. Oh, they get memories that last a lifetime, which was true 30 years ago when there weren't billions at play. Let's not forget that, I say.
Mike Pesca is Here and Now sports analyst. He also hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thank you so much.
You're welcome.